Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Make sure everybody's awake. Some cool stuff, huh? I get to work at this company. We do some pretty amazing stuff. A lot of you may know us because you may be carrying a cell phone that carries our chips. But maybe some of you don't know some of the other products we just showed. So we're putting wireless technology into automotive. We're doing stuff in the home for automation. So there's a lot of cool technology that Qualcomm is working on. I get to, well, I don't design it, but I get to know the people who work with it. So really fun stuff. Let me tell you a little bit about myself, and I'll tell you a little bit more about Qualcomm in a second. I've been a project and program manager for about 18 years. I'm PP certified for about 10 years. I've done a lot of public and private sector work. Early on in my career, I did a lot of government work, and now I'm doing a lot of private sector work. Areas of expertise, obviously IT, computer science background. I've done a lot of work in finance, obviously program management, and also in business management. I've been using Microsoft Project forever, probably most of you. It was the de facto standard. That's what you had to use. I've been using Microsoft Project Server since 2003, but I really didn't get into it until 2007. Other PPM solutions. I put this up here because my expertise is project management. I don't like to say it's project server. I've used a lot of project management tools, AtTask, CA, Primavera, PlanView, others. So I've got a lot of experience with a lot of the tools out there. Currently, I'm leading a team that supports and deploys project server across Qualcomm. So we do implementations, and what we really like to do is work with the customer and talk about process. Because if some of you know who have done project server implementations, it's not about turning this light switch on. It's about talking about process and how you're going to use the system. So that's what we like to do and like to spend those time having those conversations about process and process improvement. I also support a bunch of other project management tools as well. That's less important for this conversation, so I won't go into those. Qualcomm. What is Qualcomm? Founded in 1985. Let me just read this for a second. From its beginning in 1985, Qualcomm has grown from seven guys meeting in a den, to a world-leading provider of wireless technology and services. Qualcomm is a global company, a firm with many facets, with each business division changing the way we live and work through its own unique contributions. But no matter what each Qualcomm business does, all unite in a single driving passion to continue to deliver the world's most innovative wireless solutions. So from those seven individuals in 1985, we're about 34,000 employees all over the world. France, Israel, China, you name it, we've got people all over the world. Really exciting. But you know, one thing I will say about that, there are aspects of the company which are still run like a startup company. It's very strange. At 34,000, almost 30 years later, there's still a lot of aspects of the company that are startup-ish, and we'll talk. We're not going to talk more about that. I'm going to talk about tools and implementation, how to help you succeed for this conversation. Oops. More on Qualcomm. If you want to check out more on us, I encourage you to buy our stock. There's our ticker symbol. There's our QTube channel, and there's more information at Qualcomm.com. There's a lot of cool videos on there, too, if you want to check them out. By the way, you guys may not know this, but at the end of this conference, you're going to be getting all these materials. So the slide deck and everything I'm going to go over is going to be yours. Hopefully, you have some value out of this and can use some of this stuff. So I'm giving away a lot for free here. So let me start talking about what we do at Qualcomm, our core business. This is a regular desktop PC. Has anybody ever put one of these together or opened up the case? Yeah, can I see some hands? Yeah. So you see the various components. You may have a video driver. You may have an Ethernet card. You may have the motherboard, and then you got the main CPU. It's a lot of different components, right, that go into the computer. Yes, everybody agree? This is what it gets shrunk down to in your cell phone. A chip the size of about a stamp, and it still has all of those components on it. So it's got a power, it's got modem, it's got a GPS device. This is a Snapdragon chip. There's over 100 different design elements, over 100 little different chips, single individual chips mashed up into one. We call this system on a chip, SoC. This is 28 nanometer technology. very, very small and microscopic. It is incredibly complex. The slight placement of a chip is just overwhelming what these guys can do. I bring this up so you can understand the complexity of the projects that we're managing. I also bring this up because collaboration is essential. There's no one person that can build this thing. Not one, right? They rely on software tools and software models and collaboration among many teams to make this happen. Much like most of the innovations today are going to happen through collaboration, like DNA sequencing or what have you. Those next great innovations are going to happen through collaboration. So we collaborate a lot at Qualcomm. These are our engineers in the lab. So engineering, a little bit more about Qualcomm and how we're broken up. Engineering, there's a hardware design team who actually designs the chip and the modules in it. There's a modem team who just specifically concentrates on the modem and the communication from your cell phone or other wireless devices to the towers and what have you. There's a software team. We have 3,000 software engineers. It's not IT. We have 3,000 software engineers who write the code that goes on to these chips. There's a virtual platform team. The virtual platform team creates these computers where they virtualize the chips. So our software team can develop their software in conjunction with the chip construction and design. And there's more in engineering as well, but I just want to give you a flavor for the different teams. We have corporate as well. We have a regular corporate IT, which I'm part of, my team's part of, building services, finance, and other teams as well. We support all of these teams across all of Qualcomm. We don't specialize in any of the business. We go all across all 34,000 employees. That's important because we have over 10 instances of Project Server in Qualcomm right now. There's over 3,000 users. We have SharePoint and Project Server on the same farm. I fought hard for this. A lot of people are going to tell you to separate the two farms. I'm a firm believer in keeping them together. Because if you're using SharePoint and Project Server, I don't want them to think there's two different things. I want the ability to share the data across SharePoint and Project Server, so I'm a huge believer in keeping them together. Also, we have enough problems getting infrastructure support for Project Server and SharePoint, our own little farm. Imagine if we doubled our server farm, right? Which is basically what we'd have to do to have two separate Project Server and SharePoint farms. We're currently using 2010, and we're migrating. I don't know if you see that date. We're migrating in 2013 next week, so it's very painful for me to be up here right now because we're doing a lot right now. But I thought it was really important to come up here and share with you guys and give you some of this stuff for free because I believe that if more people use Project Server and more people are successful, the product is going to get better. And that's why I'm here. I think it's going to provide dividends back for Qualcomm, too. So I'm taking the time out to speak to you guys, and I hope this is interactive. If you have any questions, please ask them, okay? I may move some of your questions to the parking lot. Don't get offended. I'll pick them up later at the end or if time allows, okay? We have 1,900 projects, 323,000 tasks, and I'm just going to click on this real quick. This is live, so you can see the most recent data. This is an Excel services through SharePoint, if you're not familiar with it, running against all of our instances, so you can see with a slicer on here our various customers. There's also some other stats on the stats page, like number of resources, etc. So this is when management asks me how we're doing or what's going on, this is what I show them. It's very hard if you've ever tried to get the number of users from Project Server, it's very, very difficult. To get a real number. So this is what I show them, number of projects and number of tasks to get them an idea of the growth that's going on and the number of resources being managed. So you can see that right here. You saw that we have 10 different instances of Project Server. So digital hardware, our digital hardware team has their own instance. Our virtual platform team has their own instance. Our software team has their own instance. There are dependencies between all of these instances. Software is dependent upon the virtual platform team. They can't build their software without the virtual platform team. So how do we address this? We use a product called MasterLink. And these guys are over here if you have questions or the booth is downstairs. It is a phenomenal tool for linking. If you've ever tried to link projects together in Project Server out of the box, it's incredibly cumbersome and not intuitive. But MasterLink bridges that gap. It's very fast, works off the reporting database, and gives us that ability to link across instances and respects security in those instances as well. So we like Mesh Link a lot. One of the things we also did, so if you go back and remember that diagram of the chip I showed you, that Snapdragon chip, it's got over 100 different design elements in it. We have an SoC plan that manages the design of that chip. It's got about 120 different design elements that it links to. Those are all separate projects, and it links at various different milestones. So the SoC chip plan could have up to 800 links to other projects and tasks. So it's incredibly complex. But what we've done is we've actually worked with Matan to build this bulk update tool. So it's kind of cool. So we have a field called report milestone, which I'll talk about in a second. And then we have design element, which I'll talk about. Design element is where in the chip this task is going to. And then we have an SoC field, because a design element, may be going into multiple chips. So if you line these things up correctly in your project, you go to the SoC plan, and you click this button in the ribbon here. You can see it in the red up here on the right. Everybody see that? And it'll go back and wire up your SoC plan with all your links. And it saves our team. The last time we had to do it manually, it took them 2 weeks to wire up a project. This they can do in a couple of minutes, as long as it's set up properly. So it's a really... Question there? Yeah, that's a good question. I should have mentioned that. The question was, why are we using 10 instances? Does anybody have any guesses? Everybody works differently. Every single team has different processes. So our hardware design team has a different process than our software team. Our virtual platform team, they do Scrum, and they manage projects and sprints. So it's very different process, and there's unique things that they want to capture within their instance. So that's why we have the separate instances. It allows them to get the flexibility that they need to do their own thing without being in the same instance. And if they're in the same instance, they all have to use the same fields. If you require a field that one team doesn't want, you know, you're kind of hosed. And that was the fact in 2007 and 2010. Good question. Now I'm going to get into some of the things which I hope will help you. I'm starting at the top. So we consolidated all of our information into one SharePoint site, and we got a keyword. I don't know if anybody has a short URL in their company or organization, but we use Go. So this is Go Project Server. So whenever we tell anybody if they need any information about Project Server, they just do Go Project Server, and we give them this. And let me just go through this real quick. We kind of put our own CSS on this. There's announcements are up here. Right, so right at the top, it's talking about our Project Server 2013 deployment, and go watch a video to learn more about it. There's discussion. We have a general Microsoft project discussion and a little button up here so they can subscribe, so project managers can ask their own questions to each other and find out answers. There's stats, so that page that I just showed you on how Project Server is being used. We have over 100 FAQs that I'm going to be giving you guys so that you can take them home and hopefully get used to them so they can find their own answers as well. This I'm not going to give you. We also have a series of videos on what we call QTube. It's like our YouTube internally. But we have a whole series of videos, little, some short, some long, connecting Microsoft Project Server, understanding the scheduling engine, save and publish projects. So it goes on and on. So we provide... We have 3,000 users, like I said before, and we only have 4 people on our team. We cannot support everybody, so we've tried to provide the materials so people can get their own help. This gets them unfresh. People are working all around the clock, too, so people don't get frustrated. They're able to find their answers, hopefully able to find their own answers. We also have a link to the sample reports, which I'm going to show you guys in a little bit. We set up sample reports for our shared instance, which I'll show you in a second. So that's Go Project Server. One other thing, too, is we do training. We do training every other week. So we typically do, there's a training session tomorrow, 15 to 20 project managers every other week we're training. New project managers or people coming back for refreshers. And this is our schedule and training material. Oh, let me show you that real quick. One thing I do want to show you is if you've ever tried to look at the Office CUs, it's kind of hard to figure out what the heck is it fixing, right? So I think we have it down to a formula. So if you look up here in the description of this list, this is what we search for. So if you search for that in Google, the office information and fixes will come right to the top. You just put the month you're looking for, and then we strip out, we kind of make it simple, what the October 2013 CU fixed, right? And if we scroll over to the right, you can see whether it's client or server-side fixes. So we provide this for our users as well so they can search if they're having an issue. Well, it's a fix, and we also note whether it's in production or not. So whether you know if you've got the fix or not, if you're having the problem. So don't bother us. You can call Microsoft if you've got an issue that hasn't been fixed yet or it's about to be fixed. Offerings. We were struggling. We had two or three instances for a long time, and they were at what we call our platinum level of support, meaning they get whatever the heck they want. And we couldn't scale. Our charter was to put Project Server across Qualcomm, and we just couldn't do it with our resources. So we came up with these service offerings to better define what you're going to get and how we can help you guys. So we've got a bronze offering, which is our initial offering, which basically we set up a Project Server instance kind of with our best practices in it, and then we do admin training. We'll do a two-week intensive admin training, and then you're off on your own. Okay, no support. We have a gold level, which is a three-month implementation duration. It's about a month and a half worth of effort. We'll go in, we'll do some process analysis, figure out what you need to do, so do some small customizations, do some small tweaking on reports, and then you're off. Okay. And then we have the platinum, which is whatever you want. There's one other offering I'm going to go over in a minute, which we really like, and I'll go over that at the end of the presentation. So that information is also at Go Project Server. So people can familiarize themselves with the offerings and actually get a little bit more details. You know, what the environment includes, what kind of reporting they're going to get, what kind of training they're going to get. We do a customized training on the gold and platinum level, what kind of support they're going to get as well. Oops.
How do you determine which group gets what level of?
How much money do you have? Yeah, it comes down to, you know, if you can provide consulting services to get you guys up and running, you know, you'll get gold or platinum, depending on what your needs are. Yeah. Fortunately, that's what it comes down to, because it's hard to get heads, right? You're always being asked to do more with less, so even us. This is our checklist. We developed this early on to try to make sure that all of our environments have the same stuff set up. I'll take you through a few of these real quick. Oh, I can't find the file. That's okay, I know where you are. So we developed this early on as a way to make sure when we set up our instances that we're all following, you know, we do the same thing. So did you add the Project Center web part to the PWA landing page? So by default, there's the reminders web part, but most people just want to see the projects. You know, show it to them right away. Could cause a little bit of performance delay, but most people want it, and that's we put it right up front. Close button. If you've ever noticed in Microsoft Project, it is, and you edit a plan in the web in 2010, there is no close button at the task level, right? Is this resonating with anybody? Yeah? Yeah, so we put a customization in, so if I edit this, you'll see a little close button there as well, so they don't have to flip over to the project tab to close it, because everybody's leaving these projects checked out. It's fixed in 2013, thank God, but we added that as well. Did you rename the site collection to match the instance? So again, we have 10 different instances, and they all kind of look the same. So we renamed the site collection to make sure we know where we are. So simple stuff like that, you know, this is called EMS, so we know which instance we're in. Simple stuff like that, and the checklist will keep going on and on. I'll let you look at this at your own. I don't have to go through each one of these. I've got a lot to cover. But stuff like that can help you consistently put out Project Server or go back and set up one instance that you had set up properly. I should go over a few more things. A couple things that we do that I want to talk about. We do a minute database. We use a discussion database to track minutes associated with CCBs related to that instance. so we can track all the conversations and decisions that were made about that instance, to change the field, to change the workflow, to change the process, so people can go to their instance to find out what's going on or what decisions were made. The other thing we do, there is a change log. How the heck do you figure out what changed in your project server instance? Does anybody know? Does anybody have multiple admins? It's very difficult to track what changes have been made, what custom fields have been made. So we have a change log. It's not automated. People will have to remember to update it, but at least we have somewhere where they can go annotate what they changed and when they changed it. PWA automation. So again, we have 10 different instances, and it was getting very cumbersome in creating new instances. You have to, our infrastructure team was complaining, we got to do this, that, the other thing. So we automated. This is the brainchild of Patrick High, who's over there. He did an incredible job in automating the process. And what it basically does is it takes a backup of an already configured project server instance, the content database, the project server instance, and then basically recreates it. Through a set of prompts, our infrastructure team can run this PowerShell script, enter the AD groups and the customer name, and basically creates the instance for them in a matter of seconds with all of our settings and customization. So we went from that checklist and evolved into automating completely with a PowerShell script. You guys are going to get this too, by the way, so hopefully if you're not technical, you don't need to follow the code, but you can take this home to wherever your IT guys are and follow it. I'm going to open the documentation real quick. None of my links are freaking working. Excuse me. It's a good thing I spent last night updating these links, huh?
Testing.
So you guys, again, are going to get this documentation. The documentation Patrick did, it's an excellent job. It goes through, tells us about the introduction, what the prerequisites are, step-by-step how to deploy it, creating the folders, creating the backup. It goes through and talks about some of the fields. It also talks about security. These groups by default will be set up. We have a contractors group, which is set to nothing by default. We have an executives group, which is set up to read. We have a project managers group, which is set up only to read their own projects. We have a super project managers, which is set up to read all projects. We have a super team member who can see all projects. And we have a team members that can only see projects that they're on. So we try to pre-think the main groups and flavors of security that we're going to need up front. So this is built in. You're going to get a copy of our SharePoint instance as well, our project server instance, along with this code as well as a starting point with the security setup. It also talks about how the group name should be structured. So your AD groups should look like this before you come and use this PowerShell script, because it's going to set up everything based off of that. Then it keeps going. It's got some nice pretty screenshots. So you can see the PowerShell script here, and it's got prompted all the way through. It's a really nice automation job. And if you have questions about that, Patrick or I would be happy to help you with that. Nobody likes that? I don't hear any.
It's insane.
A few other things. My task. We have a bunch of engineers. We support engineers. I was in another, it was Ludo. Ludo was saying engineers were lazy, right? Well, they are. They're also, they also are easily confused. So this, yeah, I shouldn't say that. But this seems so simple, but it's so important, right? All this is putting the MyTask web part on a page without the left nav, right? Because all I care about is going and updating my tasks. Don't confuse them with more options than I need. I wish there was, we haven't done it, we probably could. You know, they really want the save and submit. Maybe all they need is a save and submit button at the bottom, and that's all they really need to know. They don't want to be confused by the ribbon, they want to be confused by the left nav. Give me a nice grid, I can go update my task and get the hell out. So it seems simple. It is simple to do, but it's something to think about and implement. Report milestones. I briefly talked about report milestones earlier. Let me talk more about that. Task names are ambiguous. Does everybody agree with that? Task names are ambiguous. I could type whatever the heck I want there. It may be meaningful to me. I may put a typo in there, but nobody else knows what the heck it means. So we use a custom field that is selectable called report milestones. So it's an agreed upon set of milestones. Why do we do that? So if another project manager comes to my plan, he doesn't have to look at the task names, right? He looks at the report milestone field to see where we are with the project. He doesn't care about the noise over on the left. The other thing we use it for, as it says, for reporting. We don't use task names in report because they get long, they're all over the place. So this is an easy thing that you can do to help take the ambiguity out of your projects. This is our shared instance. I'm going to talk more about this in a second, but let me just show you some of the report milestones that we've set up here. So we have standard engineering milestones. We have our standard information design, deployment, testing. And we also have some generic ones, which you may not understand right now, but I'll talk about those in a second when we talk more about shared. So report milestone. The other thing that I want to mention, Matan and Masterlink allows you to filter your task when you're linking by custom fields as well. So when folks are linking projects together, they don't have to look at the task name. They can look at the report milestone or filter on the report milestone and very quickly create those milestones. Make access to macros easy. You know, this was such a simple mod. Everybody can create macros. It's easy to create them, and they can be quite powerful and do some things for you. It may not be, everything is Murphy. This code is very, very short and very, very simple, and you can put it in your enterprise global to modify the ribbon, okay? To make your macros more accessible. So right here, I'm highlighting it. You can see I've called this. This is the enterprise macro section of the ribbon. There is an archive group, and in the archive group, there is archive complete projects. And what it does, it targets the archive project complete macro. Okay? So just with a simple lines of code, you can modify the ribbon. Let me show you what that looks like. So I'm in Microsoft Project Server, and you'll see that I have enterprise macros. So you can put a nice little colorful icon too. So it makes kind of a professional look and feel to very simple macros that can add a lot of value, and it's very easy to do. You guys get that code too. It's very simple to do. The only thing, they have to enable macros when they launch and connect to Microsoft Project Server. Copy assignments field. So one of the fields, one of the macros that we've made available to folks is a copy assignment level fields. So I hope Microsoft does this eventually, but who doesn't want to get information from the resources reporting task status? Whether it's a change request that's associated with the task, whether it's a URL associated to the code with that task, anything like that stays at the assignment levels. Everybody familiar with that? There's a parent-child relationship, the task and the assignments, multiple assignment levels. So we, on occasion, have to roll up that information to task level for reporting purposes all the time. So we get tired of writing a macro at a time for each field that we want to roll up. So we wrote this copy assignments field, and watch, this link is not going to work yet. So we created this copy assignments field. So what it does, it's not a lot of code. Just scroll through it real quick. It's less than 100 lines of code. And what it does is, it basically, you create a view, use the same view name that we have there, and you add the fields that you want to copy up from the assignment level. So all you have to do is use a view, add the fields there, they push the button in the enterprise macros, right? They push the button, copy assignments field, it'll go through and copy those up for them. I guess, does that resonate with anybody too?
What's it do if you have more than one resource?
Yeah, the last resource was going to win. Good question, yeah. It doesn't have any logic to determine who, you know, who modified anything last. The other thing that was tough, too, is this uses a task usage view. There's no way to tell how big the view is. You can't get the row count. So it makes some assumptions along that lines. It does a 5 times the task row count to get to the end. Custom AD sync job. This is something DeltaBond helped us with. I don't know if you guys struggle with this, but we did. I'm not going to even try the link on this one. You have fields in your AD that you want to bring over to Project Server you use for reporting or what have you. So we have a weekly process, a weekly job that runs every Saturday night that's going to bring in things like location, whether in San Diego, China, wherever the resource may be. It's going to bring in their supervisor. It's going to bring in their employee type, whether they're a full-time employee, temp, or what have you. So this code will do that. This is well documented as well. We're giving the source code for this as well. And it goes through the configuration settings, AD, what logs, and how to install it. So hopefully you guys can get some use out of that as well if you're trying to get additional information from your AD. I need to see some shaking heads or something. You guys are sitting there. You guys still with me? Or is this helpful at all? Yeah? Okay. Tips continued. Another thing, our users actually think this is part of the product right now. We have a project state, a project level custom field called project state. We have this in every single instance. Not my to-do list. I didn't want to share that with you. So you will see project state in every single instance, and it is a required field in every instance as well. So we have things like in construction, active, completed, canceled, training, archive. So this, we use this to trigger our reports. So we don't report off of anything that's in construction. We actually report off of anything that's active or completed. Everything else we'll ignore for our reporting purposes. Because as you know, there can be a lot of noise, people testing or projects that really aren't supposed to be there. And this helps us clean it up. It also helps you clean it up in the views as well. So you can remove these projects from the views. I'm going to go a little bit over, a little bit later, over archive and complete it as well. Let me close this so you don't look at my to-dos anymore. The question was, where is that stored? It's a project level custom field. So you go to your enterprise settings, just add a project level custom field. Active and completed used for reporting. I said that completed and archive macro. So we have a macro that helps folks archive projects. As you know, there's no way to get a project out of Project Server once it's there. We don't want to delete it. We want that data there. We want to keep it there forever, but we want it to remove it from reporting. We don't want people to see it. You ever go to the file open dialog, you got 10,000 projects. How the heck do you find your project? So we created a macro that archives your project. And basically what it does, and you're going to get this too, it basically unpublishes all your tasks. So that way, if anybody's got a My Task, they're no longer going to see it. And sets the project state to archive. The next step, the resource is trained to send an email to the admin. The admin moves it to an archive category. So using security, we can block everybody's access to the project, which basically effectively makes the project disappear from Project Server. So you guys will get this as well. This is the best we could come up with something around archiving a project. We have the completed macro as well, basically just sets the project to complete. So one of the things we were struggling with is also removing from the My Task. So the only way to do that is to unpublish the project, so this macro helps you do that as well. Questions about that?
Looking at Gitforce in the mouth, do you have an unarchived macro?
Unarchiving is actually easy. You just take it out of the category and just republish your task if you wanted to. But typically, by the time they want to archive your project, right, is a year after they should have been archived to begin with. So it usually doesn't go backwards.
Can you zero out tasks, assignments, and so forth?
No. So that's a great question. Yeah, so do you zero out task assignments? No, whatever the actuals were, that's what it is. You know, that's the PM's responsibility to clean up the project. We wish they did, but, you know, and typically don't. Baselining. Baselining is great. if you remember to do it, right? And if you only need 11 copies of your baseline, what happens to projects that run longer? What if you want to do some trend analysis? Some other people are doing some presentations on this too. It's very difficult. So we created an automatic snapshotting job process, and you guys will get the code for this too. It's a very simple job, and I'll show it to you. Snapshot, where are you? I'm in the wrong place. All right, so you're going to get two scripts. One is a create table, which generates a table in SQL Server that captures the information. And there's several fields we're capturing. We capture the task UID, the project UID, obviously, to link it up to the project server data. We capture a snapshot date, which is actually not the snapshot date. It's actually a Friday. It's a fixed date and time. So we do this once a week. We have a created date as well, which represents the exact date and time that the task was snapshotted. We'll take the task deadline, the start date, and the finish date of the task, and the percent complete. Okay. This allows us to automate the process and to do slip reporting. Slip reports in an automated fashion. So the project manager, there's a project level field, which I'm going to show you in a second. They can set the day and the hour that they want to create the snapshot, project level field. And then the SQL job runs every hour and will copy tasks on a regular basis. One thing, we don't capture every task. It would just get to be too big. So what we do use as a flag is the report milestone column. So if they've tagged it with a milestone, those are the important tasks. Those are the ones we're going to capture and do a snapshot process on. This is the code for the snapshot. You'll see it's well documented and coded. It actually goes through and deletes orphans, too, because over time, one of the things you have to be careful with, don't ever overwrite your project and project server. Everybody know about that, right? If you take your project locally and save it locally and then save it back to the server, you're overwriting the project. The project gets new GUIDs, new IDs, and new tasks. It basically looks like a brand new project to project server. It basically messes up all your snapshotting, okay? Because you want to maintain your GUIDs. So that's one thing you don't want to do. So this will delete any orphans that may have occurred. And then here's your insert as well. We've also modified this for several of our customers, our digital design team. They track mitigation activity or risk associated with the task, so they wanted to track how that's been changing over time as well. I thought for sure this would generate questions. Yes? How long do we keep a typical... It depends. Typically, we're very sensitive to time to market. So our turnaround times on most projects are fairly quick. A project may 2 years at most. Typically, a project may last. Well, the baseline doesn't help us, right? The baselining they may use for plan of record, right? They'll say, these are the approved dates. This is what we want to measure against. But you can't see how your tasks are slipping over time. If your finish date moves today, and then next week moves again, you can't see that trend analysis. So what the snapshot job allows you to do is see that trend, right? So, yeah. No. We're snapshotting task start and finish date, right? So it helps us predict when we're going to complete our projects. It's a good predictor based on the slippage of when we're actually complete, because we don't do earned value or we don't do some other stuff. So this is our best guess at when we're actually going to complete the project is looking at the trend. We do not. We do not. Question back there? Yeah, they use the snapshot for trend analysis. They still use the baseline if they want. It's a good way to back up your plan, right? I'm sure people know that, right? So if you want to create a backup of your start and finish date, I can put it in baseline and copy it back to my start and finish dates at a later time. So they use it for that, and they use it for other purposes, like I just discussed, like plan of record. These are the approved dates. These are the approved dates. We went to committee, everybody shook their heads, and that's what they're typically using the baseline for. So when you do that, you can see things like this. This is a slip report based on milestone. So this is a specific milestone. These are the snapshot days, so this is time going along the x-axis, and this is actually the date that it's slipping to. So I can see it slipping, goes to 7-1, actually comes back in. So you can start to look at your report milestones, and we have some click-through reports so they can filter out to see specific milestones to see how the trends are going. And I had a link here, and it's not working either. I'll show you that in a second live. So this brings us back to our, this is our crowning achievement, our shared instance. Oh, there's a quick question over there. Typically within a single instance, yeah. Our virtual platform team typically doesn't care about how the software team is slipping, so it's typically within an instance. Our shared instance. So we've got all these people. We had about 4 or 5 instances, and we still can't get to everybody in Qualcomm. We can't get enough bodies to do implementations. So what we did was we created a big, huge instance which everybody could use. It's based off of RBS for security, which many of you guys may be using already. So what they do, project managers, all they have to do is come to training. They go to a 2-hour training, and as they sign up for training, we agree upon what their RBS is going to be, and then they're ready to go. And I'm going to show you what that's going to look like. Oh, so there is a link here to... I don't even know why I bother. This is our project manager training manual, which you guys are getting a copy of as well. Does anybody care? Yeah? This is a 2-hour session. We do this every other week. We go through how to connect your server, verify that you have the correct version. So we always try to enforce a CU. Managing your projects with Project Server. We go over the database structure, how to open your plan, creating a new project, saving new plan to the server, save, publish, close, project calendars, project information, baselining. We tell them how to baseline because, remember, the vast majority of our users are not project managers, right? The people managing these projects are senior engineers or people who have been elevated because they have some knowledge. So, and even if they were project managers, most of the stuff is not all that intuitive, right? So they need some kind of guidance. We go over custom fields, et cetera, and it is nicely, we did this. You'll see pictures, how to connect. We go over the separate databases so people can understand what publishing is and what the archive database is. People are always surprised. They want to come use Project Server so I can version my project off. You can't version your project off. So we go through those conversations with the project managers. So hopefully you'll get some use out of this as well. You can take it and do whatever you want with it. But this is what we send our project managers through every other week. So if I'm a new shared user, I negotiate with us, get an RBS value, and then they come to this 2-hour training session. And let me show you what shared looks like. This is our shared instance. It is not Project Server 2013, but we implemented it after Project Server 2013 came out. So we borrowed the pictures. These aren't active icons, but they are icons like in 2013 because we wanted to get people familiar with the interface that was coming up, and we didn't want it to change too much. So they come here. We have their project sites front and center, so any of our PMs can just use this one site to send their users. They're only going to see the project sites that they have access to based off their RBS, right? So you want to put the information front and center that people want. There's a welcome to Microsoft Project Share. It goes through what this environment does, and this is what you need to get started. So we send our users here, and they've got all the information they need to get started. They need Project Professional 2010. Here's how to order it. We give them a link. Microsoft Project Training. Here's a link to our training calendar. Here's the requirements and FAQ. And configuring Microsoft Project Server for your organization. So we give them instructions, and I can click on this link to show you, of how using the Resource Center and bulk updating their resources to assign their RBS value. We let them update their resources in RBS because we can't get good quality information out of our AD. And you probably have the same situation as well. The AD is not necessarily the teams that you're working on or managing. So we let the PMs manage the RBS values for the resources. So you can see here the detailed instructions of how to get started. So this has helped us greatly because it frees us up. They come to the two-hour training, which we do anyway, and they come use shared, and they set themselves up and get rolling. So this has been a great savior for us. You'll also see that we have a help section down here, videos and FAQs. And on every page, let me just pick on a page here, go to the Project Center, you'll see a home button, because it wasn't intuitive for our users how to get back to the main PWA site, right? Does anybody have that problem too? And there is a help on each page that's relevant to the page you're on. So we're on the Project Center page, and you can see the help associated with that page, and also linked to FAQs related to it. You guys are getting this too, by the way. So I hope this helps you guys out. So we've tried to make it simple, because it's not. Maybe it will get. Microsoft is doing better and better with each iteration, but it hasn't been simple. But this shared instance is where we've gotten to, and this is our most crowning achievement right now is this shared, and the takeoff has been phenomenal. Project managers have been coming left and right to do the training and getting active, and they've been able to run by themselves for the most part. We have one or two support calls now and then, stuck project, stuff like that, but it's been pretty good experience. I'm going to take you through just a few more pages here. Oh, I didn't even talk about this. I'll talk to you this. So we have indicators, health project indicators. So right, if they want to use this as a dashboard, it's already built in right away. We have a health indicator, project, deadline, et cetera, just to show you that the help does change from page to page. Now we're on the project details page, telling them that they have to edit, save, publish, and close. A lot of people hit the page, and they just want to edit. They don't understand they got to do the checkout, close, publish, and all that. So this is helping them try to understand the process. So let's go back home. So we wanted to make the SharePoint site, the project sites, also simple and easy to use as well. So we've got the same home button and the same help button on every site that gets published. And when you publish a project, you automatically get this site template. It has the project details page right up center so they can see their project plan and share it. Because a lot of our users just want to share their project plan. That's all they want to do. So they can come in and share it. They can publish their plan. As soon as they publish, they get a site like this, and their plan's front and center without much fuss. Right? That's fixed in 2013, right? You have the timeline and the page views also have a better view of this. But if you're using 2010, you can use this. If you scroll down some more, we've got their project documents front and center, calendar, and the My Tasks as well, right? So if I'm a resource, I can come here, I can see my tasks, update them, get out, or see any documents associated with my project. You're getting this one too. We also have team tasks. So we try to pre-think every use case that would be needed in this shared instance. So we have people doing Scrum management and Scrum projects. So when they sign up, we assign a generic resource associated with that RBS so they can use that resource to do team assignments, right? And then they can rank those tasks just as if it were a Scrum tool. So let me show you. Let's go back to projects and show you a project, and I'll show you the Scrum view. So we switch from task summary to our Scrum task summary, and it's grouped very easily just group by sprint and group by priority. So you can put your task in a sprint and priority method. Very simple, and you can do Scrum management using Project Server, right? And you got your team assignments view, which I just showed you, where your resources can come and grab and assign tasks themselves. And it's ranked based off of priority. Pretty simple, right? And you can still do Scrum with Project Server. Nobody else talked about this here. I was hoping somebody else would.
That's your burn down list, essentially.
Exactly. That's correct.
I'm sorry, the priority is encoded in the task
plane? The priority is a built-in field in Microsoft Project. You have priority at the task level and at the project level. So we're just reusing the built-in priority field. It's number 0 through 1,000. Default is 500. There's a my issues and risks. How am I doing on time? Yeah, let me keep moving. There's a my issues and risks. So a team member will come in and just see their issues and risks that they've been assigned to. They can click the home button. Again, there is help here associated and specific to each one of these pages. We create a team discussion for them. Does everybody know how to mail enable a team discussion list? No? You guys got to use this. So these are our team minutes. This is my team's minutes. So this is just a regular discussion list, right? Let me get one that has a few replies. We click on a subject, and this is the emails that were sent into this discussion list. It's all searchable, and I get all the history, right? All you have to do is go to the team discussion list, go to settings, list settings, then click on incoming email settings and set up an email address. I'm surprised how many people don't know about this. We encourage all of our project managers to set up a team discussion with their project site and then send all communication to the team discussion. Any new team member comes in, they can search and get up to speed fairly quickly. And it's a record of all your conversations. No, this is just SharePoint. Yeah, we don't have it integrated with, you can integrate it with AD, and then it would create an actual list in AD, but this is just in SharePoint itself. Patrick? Yeah, somebody help me out. This is beyond my technical. Sorry. Okay, so people can't hear what you're saying, but he's saying that you got to configure a bunch of MX records to make sure that the email comes into SharePoint. But you don't have to set up each email address. You set up SharePoint to receive incoming email, and the rest works for free. Yeah. I never showed you guys this. This is the project information tab. This is where they set up the snapshot day and hour. It's just a field that has the day and then the hours here. Okay. Let me go back to my presentation. Standard reports. So let me finish up, and then I'm going to talk about Project Server 2013. And I'm going to go back to shared and show you our standard reports. So here we are back to MPS shared. We have a reports tab. You click on the Reports tab, and you get four sets. There's one below. If you scroll down, you'll see it in a second. Four sets of reports already available for you. There is a main dashboard. We use ClickView. We're not a Microsoft shop. We don't actually use AD. We actually sync from LDAP into AD. So we don't use a lot of the business intelligence tools that Microsoft provides as well. You can do this same kind of thing with the performance point and Microsoft's tools as well. But this basically is a main dashboard. We have what's called section access. So everybody's using the same set of reports, but they're only going to see their own data. Right? So if we have updates to these reports, it's very easy to roll out. So this main dashboard basically shows you a line for today. Those are your projects on the left. Shows you completed work, what's remaining, remaining work in yellow. Let me scroll over to the right. You can see the whole key. So late, at risk, on schedule, et cetera. We give them a task progress report. And if you're not familiar with ClickView, you can filter any of this. So if I click here on this one project name or report milestone, I've just filtered all my reports for that one report milestone. We have a two-week outlook, and I promised I'd show you this slip chart in action. Let me get a name of a project here. Sample software development. All right, so this is a very simple example of the slip report. This has no slip, but you can see the milestone over on the right. It's all interactive. They can select whichever projects they want to see. Let me go back to the reports. So they come into Shared. They already have these reports already set up they can use. We also have headcount reports for them. So your typical mountain chart. This, unfortunately, you're not going to get. So you've got your mountain charts based on project, how many resources you're consuming. You've got a headcount table with FTEs, not hours, because nobody thinks in hours. Work capacity shortage surplus, so kind of replacing the resource center, but more interactive, right? I can select a specific resource and see my assignments. And then we also have a compliance area, too, where it shows task updates. So who's making task updates, when they're making task updates, are they making them on time, and that kind of thing. The question was on our FTE charts, is it linked to a fiscal calendar? Yes. Project Server has its own fiscal calendar that you can set up. So if you set up your fiscal calendar in Project Server, you have a fiscal calendar. So yes. We are using the fiscal calendar. We also give them Excel reports as well. So we give them a starting place with their data. So they have a bunch of Excel reports that they can get access to. This is just out of the box, right? Microsoft provides these. We've customized some of them. But they can select a report and then open it up in Excel. This is on the web, right? So this is the Excel services version, but they can open up in Excel and then make changes to it and then publish it as their own that meets their needs. So we're giving them all the tools that they need to create the reports. We've got the standard reports, and we're giving them training. So hopefully they're self-sufficient off from the start. What we like about Project Server 2013, HTML5, definitely. No more ActiveX, right? Support for all the browsers. And the performance, I didn't know this. Ludo showed the numbers on Monday. I didn't realize they were that drastic, but you can see it. It is incredibly much faster. It's breath of fresh air. More functionality when modifying projects via PWA. So this is great, too. I wish they did a little bit more, but there is a ton more there. Go back to my notes. Custom fields are updating automatically. Fixed work and effort-driven tasks are actually functioning properly. So that's really great. I wish that they would allow you to put a percent allocation on a resource through the web. That's still not there, but it is leaps and bounds. It's getting there. It's almost completely, you can almost use the web completely now to manage a project. It's getting very, very close. Read-only is the default. Oh, God, I love this. Has anybody seen that? If you guys haven't seen that, I'll take a second to show you guys real quick. So one of the things we go over in training is to look up at the header before you make changes to a project. How many people have made changes to a read-only project only to realize when they go to close it that it was in read-only mode? Don't you wish they prevented you from making changes or something? So one of the things we have to go over is, you know, look up at the header before you make changes. Well, in 2013, they've corrected this. It behaves much like Excel and Word and all the other applications. So if you haven't seen it, let me show it to you. So by default in 2010 and 2007, if you have access to a project, it is going to open in read-write mode. In 2013, what was that? In 2013, you notice that the read-only mode is the default. And now you have a button that is very front and center that shows you it's in read-only mode, and you can check it out to edit. So we love this feature. So if you haven't seen it, that's what it looks like. The timeline view, we love the timeline view. We've always been trying to get it. Our workaround was to copy it, put it in SharePoint as a picture, and then it's there. So we're really happy that it's available in SharePoint now. So this for us, out of everything else that was new, were the main points that are going to add value to our organization right off the bat. A couple things for prepping for your migration. Like I said, we're doing this next week. Make sure you use the October 2013 CU at least. We didn't. We found out 2 weeks ago that we needed to do a December CU upgrade, and we're far along the path because there's a critical bug. So make sure you're always trying to use the latest CU. Do yourself a favor. Checking all objects. This is not required, but for safety purposes, we make sure that we're going to check in every project, every user, every enterprise object before you do your upgrade. Pages outside of PWA with 2010 web parts. We have project detail web parts outside of PWA showing folks projects and information. Those web parts are not going to be automatically updated when you do your 2013 upgrade. So you need to remember to inventory them, because you have to go back, remove them from the web part gallery, add the new one, and then also update your page. You've got to remove the web part from that page, then error out, and add the new web part. So make sure you consider that as well when you're doing your upgrade. Any custom ODC files. So if you're using Excel and Excel services to do reporting, those are all going to need to be updated because you have a new database structure. Right? Your databases are collapsed, so you may need to go and update your connection information for your ODC files. Multi-select views. This kind of threw us for a loop. We try not to use multi-select fields. Everybody know what multi-select fields are? You can have them at the task or project level, right? I can set up a custom field and say this is multi-select. I can select more than one value for this field. Multi-select fields are handled differently in Project Server than regular select field. There are separate lookup tables and more complicated joins that you have to do. These views disappear when you do the 2013 upgrade. So all your reports that use multi-select fields are going to be gone. So what you need to do is do a backup of your custom fields via the admin console, and then restore your custom fields, and that will reinstantiate your views, your custom level, your multi-select views. Run AD sync. So after the first time we did a migration, we're like, oh, we have no access. This site hasn't been shared with you. Come on, what the heck is going on? So we tried this, tried that. Nobody had access. You got to make sure you run the AD sync. You have to run it at least once to make sure access goes through. Okay? I think we're going to wind up running it at least twice based on all the processes that are going on. There is a link here to Microsoft's post-upgrade tasks. We found this very useful. This TechNet is very good. So we're giving that to you guys as well. Well, Microsoft's giving it to you. I'm just showing you where it is. Okay. And this is something that also caught us off guard, and Microsoft is quickly learning about it as well. If you've changed or deleted your default views, Project Center, the details web part has default views, like the task summary view, I think, is the default for the project details. If you delete it, which we have in some of our instances, you will get a permissions error when that page loads. All right? You have to go back and run a SQL process to reset your default views after your migration, so those views will load. All right? So be wary of that. Those are our major findings, and now it's your turn to ask me questions. Go ahead. We do have some folks who use TFS, not many. The main Scrum tool that's used at Qualcomm is Jira. And we do have the Jira product there is a Jira to project server integration. It's a product that we use to integrate between the two. Question? Yeah, the question was for the ClickView reporting, how do we expose the data? We don't. ClickView goes and reads to the reporting database every 10 to 15 minutes and pulls it into its own proprietary database for reporting. So it does that on a regular basis, part of the ClickView product. Other questions? Yes. Yeah, it's a great question. We have a true-up. So without getting into much conversation, ELA with Microsoft is, I don't even understand it. But we true-up once a year. So we do our counts once a year to figure out who's using and who's not. So that's the best explanation I can give you. We deal with the cost once we get to it. We're doing estimates on a regular basis just to see. But our true-up's once a year. Question? Yeah, so our SharePoint content databases were left behind on three occasions. When you're migrating project server from one instance to another, you instantiate a new PWA instance, right? And then you connect it to your old databases, and then you move your content databases over as well. So that process didn't always happen correctly for us. The other findings I just went over with you were permission errors. We had to run the sync initially. I didn't mention timer jobs. So another reason why you have to run the sync, you have to run both the resource AD sync. The timer job does not show up automatically. You would think you'd go to the admin console and set up your timer job. It won't show up until you actually manually run the AD sync once. Yeah, so the group sync works very similar to the AD sync. So you run your AD sync once, it shows up as a timer job. Your group sync, you have to run once, so it shows up as a timer job as well, so you schedule it. But make sure you have the October 2013 CU at least, otherwise it's not going to show up. Question? Wow, that's a great question. We are migrating, and I hate to answer it, but I'm going to answer it in public. We are migrating 10 terabytes of data, 10 terabytes worth of data. It's huge. This is not an upgrade, so don't use that terminology at all. It is a migration because it's new architecture, new database servers, new front-end servers. Microsoft's changed the whole landscape of things. So there is no in-place upgrade. You can't take your servers and just upgrade them. It doesn't happen. So we have to move all that content. We're starting Thursday night, the 13th, and we come back up Tuesday morning, the 18th, at 8 a.m. And we're working all the way through, straight. But that's 10 terabytes worth of data and 10 instances of project server. So I don't know how big you are, but. We support, on project server, 3,000 users. On SharePoint, we have over 34,000 users of SharePoint. My team's four people, yeah, and we've only been able to do that because of the things that I've shown you here today, right? And that's why I'm showing them to you, because I want you guys to be successful too. I hope it helps you guys out. Yeah, question? That's a good question. Yeah, just for Project Server 4, we have actually a larger SharePoint team. Yes. MasterLink is, well, that's a great question. So you've obviously done linking out of the box. Yeah, so originally we were doing linking out of the box, and one of our SOC plans, it would take an hour to open the plan. With MasterLink, it takes a minute. Yeah, it works off the reporting database. It's one of the reasons why we bought it. The performance is phenomenal. There's a new 2013 version. Yep, and we're using that. Other question? Yeah, that's a great question, too. So remember what Qualcomm is. We make chips. We make technology. This information is very, very sensitive, especially our schedules, right? If anybody heard about when we're going to release a product, it's very sensitive for us. So we're not willing to take the risk right now to put our IP in the cloud. It's a very attractive model, I'll give you, but we just can't take the risk right now. Good question. No, it's a product. Do you know who makes the product? Is part of Atlassian, Patrick? The Jira, the project server integration. The connector. The connector is the name, so you guys can look that up. Are we happy with it? Sometimes. It doesn't always work the way you want it to. Take a little while to set up, but once you have it set up and working, it works okay. One more thing, please fill out the survey. I don't know if I'm ever going to come back, but if you guys say this was a great and useful conversation, I will come back and talk to you guys again. Again, I'm hoping that this helps. I want you guys to be successful. I didn't go into a lot of detail because some of this stuff is technical, but I'm giving you all the code, and it's all well documented. And you can ask questions later, too, if you want my contact information, so let me know. It's with the slide deck, and I've got cards up here, so you can come up to and grab a card. And I won't promise that I'm going to get back to you in a timely manner. I'm not a consultant, so I don't make money off of this, but I will try to get back to you, okay? Yeah. Go ahead. Yes. Project level custom fields, anywhere from 7 to 20 at the task level, anywhere from 20 to 30. And that's only because we do governance. We have CCBs on a regular basis. If not, it would blow up like crazy. So if somebody wants to add a custom field, hey, we come up and say, okay, talk to us about what the use case is, what's the workflow, and how is this being used. And we all vote. And we're very stringent about keeping control over the custom fields. Because it gets confusing, right? It's not automatically in the views. People don't know how to use it. So we try to keep those down to a minimal at all times. Other question? Go ahead, Reed.
Just a comment. This has been the most valuable presentation of the whole conference for me.
Thanks, Reed. Thanks, Reed. Thank you. I still got time. Any questions? Go ahead.
Did you set up an internal user group so you could actually cross-fertilize?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So Go Project Server is our one-stop shop, and we have a PM discussion, which is just a team discussion database where people can talk. Most people don't participate, so it's usually us seeding the conversations and trying to get and solicit feedback. So it's not, you know, most of the PMs are so freaking busy, they don't want to take the time to comment. Even though they just need to send an email in, so yeah, it's not too well. I have four project managers, so I want to make that clear. What I tell my folks and what I tell people when we implement Project Server is my team is a team of project managers or project managers in training, not IT folks. They may know technology. Everybody knows technology, right? In this day and age, it's not about you understanding technology. It's understanding your business. So my team makes it a point to do PMP certification, to understand the project, and understand the business so we can provide value back to the users. So my team is a team of project managers, not IT. They know IT, but they're... So we are part of IT. We do all the support, but we have a separate infrastructure team. So we have a separate infrastructure team. There's three people who support the entire SharePoint team for the infrastructure. That's just server side. We have a separate DBA team. The DBA team is one DBA. We have a separate networking team. So it's all sectioned off, but we interact with all of those guys. We have a different exchange team. We have a different, so it's all separate teams. So if you're managing all that by yourself, you need to up those numbers quite a bit. We did.